So we're going to see the Shalom Kufay Vav, the last paragraph. So last thing we learned over here in the Siva Shalom was that one of the essential aspects of Tefillah is emuna, is the belief. And he split into three things we have to believe in before we even begin to daven. First of all, we have to believe in divine providence. We have to believe that the Rabbeinu Shlom is Mashgiach upon us. And every aspect of our lives are controlled by the Rabbeinu Shlom. That's number one. Number two is we have to believe that the Rabbeinu Shlom is the only one that we should be davening to. And three, we have to believe that the Rabbeinu Shlom listens to every tefillah.
Let me interrupt for a second. Just to remind me, we believe in the first principle that Hashem controls everything. So whatever happened to us, it happened by His will. So why would you daven to change something?
It's a very good question. The answer is that the Rabbeinu Shlom is sometimes gives us a situation because he wants to hear from us. The famous Svarta the Nachash, right? With the snake. It's said by the Hashem cursed the snake that he should eat dust for the entire life. So why is that a curse? That's a blessing. Now he has what to eat. And all the other creatures of the world don't necessarily have what to eat. The snake always has food. So why is that a curse? So the answer is what Rabbeinu Shlom told the snake is, here, take whatever you need, I never want to hear from you again. That's the curse. Any other creature needs to call out to the Rabbeinu Shlom sometime or the other. That's our connection to the Rabbeinu Shlom.
If he gives a lot of money, it means he doesn't want to hear from us?
No, usually people with money have other difficulties.
Do we say that creatures... birds and the like daven to Hashem for their food?
Sure. Yeah, we say so by the Pesukah de Zimra every morning. Livnei Oirev Asher Kro, the crows call out to Hashem.
And they don't. You're saying people with money don't have other difficulties. That's not good.
I've never met anybody in this world that does not have a reason to daven to Hashem. Every single person in this world has something to daven for. With a ma'al mekoyach emuna, now even higher than the power of emuna, yesh koyach iloi yoiser. Oh, now another thing that we learned last week was the koyach of emuna, the power of emuna. That emuna not only is just faith, but emuna can draw. Emuna has the ability, when somebody believes in something, the Rabbeinu Shlom gave a koyach into emuna, gave a power into emuna, that when we believe in something truly, then the emuna itself can make it happen. When we believe in the Rabbeinu Shlom, that the Rabbeinu Shlom will listens to us, and that the Rabbeinu Shlom loves us and wants to bestow upon us all of his toiv, so that itself can bring the Yeshua. And we spoke about that was the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, because when people believe in Avodah Zarah, right? Rabbeinu Shlom gave koyach, gave a power into emuna, right? That emuna actually can draw Yeshua. So when the people dying to this idol of stone, and they have a firm belief that this idol of stone can bring them the Yeshua that they have, and all of a sudden they have this Yeshua. Wow, it's tremendous. Right? The people that worship the Avodah Zarah, the Torah isn't talking to fools. When the Torah talks to, when the entire Torah is filled with the prohibitions against Avodah Zarah, then what's the Torah talking about? So people actually saw salvation through their emunah and whatever it was. The problem was they didn't realize where it was coming from. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam that is giving the Yeshua through the emunah, and had they had their emunah directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they would have definitely had the salvation. It's the Isra of Avodah Zarah is why place your trust in any type of mediary, and whether it's the star or the sun or the moons or the stake or whatever it is.
So that was the power of Baal?
Probably. Anything that people believe in. They say from the Baal Shem Tov that if 10 people will believe in a stick, the stick will perform miracles. But that's lav deraisa. It's deraisa to believe in a stick. And this is where the whole controversy over, to what extent can one believe in a tzaddik? And the tzaddik has powers. He performs miracles. Why isn't that a way to start? The answer is because you realize, right? I realize that the tzaddik's entire koyach is the koyach of his tzidkas, is the koyach of his righteousness. And that he's an Eved Hashem, right? I only believe in his power because he is bottled to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anybody who gives a tzaddik any type of...
Why can't you feel the same way about a stick?
What?
We believe in a stick, it gets all its power from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
But there's no reason why the stick should get its power from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
More than
I do.
Yeah.
But why should the stick get it more than I do? I might as well go directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The reason that tzaddik should have more kach than me because he's bottled to Hashem and I'm unfortunately not.
Stick would be more like a moloch. It can only do Hashem's will. It can only grow or die. It doesn't have free will.
So the stick is bottled to Hashem.
Right.
Because the stick can do nothing except what Hashem. It just lies there. It doesn't do anything.
Right. It's not because it's bechira though.
The idea that the tzaddik is communicating for you to Hashem is a very dangerous idea. The idea that the tzaddik is communicating for you to Hashem is a very dangerous idea.
But that is true. It's true. It's better than, and then you have the whole issue of going to a tzaddik's kever. Right? Are you davening? Who are you davening to? So you have to daven. You got either you got to add. You're asking the tzaddik that's buried there to beseech for you on your behalf to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because you understand that the tzaddik has a bigger koyach, or you're asking the Ribbono Shel Olam to bring you salvation. The zchus of the tzaddik, right, in the merit of the tzaddik. But to daven to the tzaddik, that's what it is. And right, you have to be careful. You hear people saying, "And the Rebbe brought this salvation." The Rebbe brought, hey, watch out. So that was the. We have to believe in the power of emunah. Well, the ma'alam ha'koyach ha'amunah, now even greater than the power of amunah, is yashkoyach ilo yoyzer. There's even a... One eye there, one eye here. There's even a higher power than that, la'hamshich ha'yeshua, to be able to draw upon a salvation, v'inin ha'bitochen, and that is the concept of trust. Bitochen. Even in a time when there are kitrugim, meaning there is some prosecution against the person, understands that there are reasons why he shouldn't be deserving of a salvation. Habitochen amiti, true bitochen, who bebchinas trufas pela, it works like a wonder remedy. It breaks down doors of copper and
breaches.
What? No, brichim are bolts, and it breaks down doors of copper and bolts of metal. Hiyois, right? So bitochen can break through all barriers. Why? Hiyois v'hu kiben habiteach harach me'avit, because the person is like a child who trusts his father's compassion. The son knows that his father loves him in unconditional love, whether he's worthy or deserving or not. So therefore, the son knows he can trust in his father's compassion. So as soon as the father sees that the son is putting his full trust in him, then all the prosecution of the world saying that the child is not deserving, that it doesn't matter at all, because the son is trusting in the fatherly love, which is unconditional. As this is all hinted to in Tehillim, Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, David HaMelech calls out, my God, why have you deserted me? And then it continues, Elikai Akri Yonav Lesana, my God, I call out to you during the day and you don't answer me. And at night, the same thing. In you, my forefathers trusted. They trusted and you saved them. They trusted in you and they weren't embarrassed. Those are the words of Tehillim. Now comes the Nesiv HaShalom to explain. Hedesh Bizman Hester. In a time of concealment, where Hashem is concealed, that's a time when we feel like our tefillos are not being answered. Yesh Eitz Achas. In those times, there is one tactic. And that is to trust. To trust in the Rebbeinu Shlita, that He will be there for us. Because on the concept of Bitochen, it is said, right, that all those who hope to you will not be embarrassed, will not be ashamed forever. All those who trust in you. This was the level of Chezkiah Melech Yehuda, who was actually not sure what this is referring to. It's a medrash. Seems like I'm not sure I want to quote. I don't want to assume. We can look it up. Echor Abed Dalet. So the Medrash says like this. It says there's a pasuk in Eicha. It says like Aminu Malchei Eretz Machol Yishrei Tevel Ki Yavai Tzar Vayev Bishar Yerushalayim. All the kings of the world and all inhabitants of the world did not believe that an enemy can enter the gates of Yerushalayim. Which is unbelievable that can happen. So the Medrash says on this, there were four kings. What one asked for, the other didn't ask for. These are them. David, Va'asa, Yehoshaphat, V'chizkiyo. Four of the Malchei Yehuda. David Omar, David said, asked Hashem, I want to pursue my enemies and I want to reach them. And Yosef came. So Hashem said to him, okay, I'll do that for you. So the Gemara brings a pasuk, David pursued his enemies and he reached them. He was able to get rid of them. So Amad Asa, came along. Well, Amar, he said, "Ain't be koyach la'arig lam. I have no koyach to kill them. El anidoy defaisam. Va'atoisa. Rather, you better slay them. I'll pursue them. That will be my part. And you get rid of them." Hashem said, "Okay, that's the deal." So it says in the pasuk that Asa ran after them. He pursued them, and Rabbi Shlom got rid of them. Yehoshaphat said, "Ani ein bi koyach. I have no koyach le'larei le'lirdef. I have no koyach not to kill and not to pursue. El ani ay mashir. I'll sing to you. I'll sing to you. Ata Isa, and you take care of them." I'm like, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Isa." Hashem said, "Okay, it's a deal." And that's what happened. Amad Chizkiyo Amalek came and said, "I have no koyach le'larig le'derdef, not to kill and not to pursue. But le'lam ashir, I have no koyach to sing shir either. El ani yashan al mitasi, I'm going to sleep in bed. Va'ata Isa, you take care of them." Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Isa. Hashem said to him, "Okay, I'll do that for you too." And the Gemara brings the pasuk where that's what happened with Chizkiyo Amalek. Huh?
I like that one.
So the Nesiva Shalom, what? Nesiva Shalom is bringing from here is what we look at this as if, you know, Chizkiyo HaMelech seemed Chas V'Shalom to be lazy. The Medrash, on the other hand, is bringing out that the ascending of the level of the Bitochen here. Chizkiyo HaMelech came to the realization, Rebbeinu Shleilam, you have unconditional love to me. You're going to take care of anything. You'll take care of everything anyway. That's how strong his Bitochen was. So, was he worthy of the Bitochen? I mean, Chizkiyo HaMelech was a tremendous tzaddik, right? But due to his ishtadlis, was he worthy of Hashem's salvation? Probably not. You know, he didn't do anything.
There's a pasuk like that. It says, "Was it Azov Tazov?"
That's when you're supposed to help out somebody else.
Right. If he sees his donkey's load is overloaded.
Right. But that's not your son.
What?
If it would be right. Your son, you need to help him without him doing anything.
But isn't that a chutzpah a little bit?
Could be.
That's a test.
Well, Achoni Amagel also. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't make Achoni Amagel. He could just, he asked for every one of the bunch. He was like a Ben Bias. He wanted the grain, he wanted the...
Yeah.
Every
one that Hashem gave him.
And that came from full bitachen in Hashem's salvation. There was a Bel Zechusik. Sanz Rav always used to tell this story about how, you know, everybody wants to, you know, just have this, I have betochen, and they're not willing to do anything. So there's a fine line between being really having betachen or being really lazy. Right? So there's obviously Chazkiah Malach was a tzaddik and he had full betachen. So the Chassan Zerov used to say that there was a Belz of Chassid. His name was Shmerel. And Shmerel was getting older. He was 40, 45, 50. And so the Chassan Zerov said, I used to ask him, Shmerel, when are you going to get married? So he said, what do I have to get married for? So he said, what do you mean? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Peri Arivia. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to have children. So he said, so what? So when I'll be ready, I'll go to the Belzeruv, to the Rebbe, and I'll ask him for a bracha for children, and I'll have children. Right? So Sandra said, so you see, right? You have to do that. You have to get married, or else you're not going to have children. It's not, you have to do the minimal shabbos.
Fight. I'm sure it's another topic for another time, but sometime I want to hear why you have to the minimal shtabbos rather than the maximum shtabbos.
It all depends on a person's betach.
Another time. Reading a book called.
But if you don't do the minimal, then Hashem can't do the miracle. It's a miracle, but it's not. Right?
Yeah. And this is as it says the Medrash HaKatoiv al Posuk Elikai b'chomatachti Alei Voisha. And the Posuk says, Hashem, I have trusted in you, please. I have trusted in you, I will not be ashamed. Says the Medrash, Moshalach Sanoi Shabbala Ir, the Ir HaMelech. This is comparable to a guest that came to the city of the king, Malon Bechutz, and he slept outdoors. So the guards of the king found him sleeping in the streets in front of the palace. Unacceptable. So they started hitting him. So he said to them, Al takuni, don't hit me. I am a family member of the king. So they brought him before the king. So the melech said to him, he said, you know me? Amalei laughs. I guess, no, I don't know you. So the melech said to him, so how did you tell them that you're a family member? So he answered to the king, I really am not a family member, but I trusted in your kindness that when I brought before you, you let me go. So the melech said to him, so the king said, since he trusted in me, let him go.
This was not Russian melech.
You
need to
lie.
He would be just one head shorter.
Yeah. No, because the term kindness doesn't exist there. Yeah.
What about Barachim? They don't
know that
either.
Right. David. This is what David said. Kai b'chobatachti alei voishem. That's what David said. Hashem, I trusted in you. Don't embarrass me. Or, I'm not sure if it's asking Hashem not to embarrass him, what he's saying, or is it a statement? I've trusted in you, I will not be ashamed. Adkan. Rabbi Yerbuchal said, the explanation of this is, Shekol kama shekoyach atfilam moyel, oy le advekes b'ashem shemam tekes adinim. Inasmuch as the power of tefillah itself helps by connecting to Hashem, that itself sweetens the dinim, as we learned above. Nevertheless, but the koyach of full bitachen is even greater. Because there's a higher level of connection to Hashem when there's bitachen. And And if a person trusts in Hashem, then they will not be ashamed. So we see from this is that emuna and bitachon, faith and trust, are the foundations that cause a person's tefillahs to be accepted.
It's very nice. Now we have to work on getting it.
Okay, you know what? We're going to have to continue next week. I'm not feeling well.